This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, who provide a whole bunch of awesome beer experiences, including brewery tours, walking tours, and events packages. Dave now runs half and full-day bus tours in Canberra, which means you can get a behind-the-scenes look at the ever-expanding beer landscape of the nation's capital. Check out info on that and more from Dave's at daves.com.au. All right, on with the show.
Sessionable.
Welcome everyone to Sessionable. It's me, Adrian, and I'm here with Liam.
Yo.
And
so you and Adrian are both here.
Yeah, me and Adrian.
Stop taking your meds today, have you, Adrian?
Just the two of us today. We're just gonna do a quick catch up on some recent news.
Yeah,
we haven't done one of those in a couple of episodes, so. Before we start, what are we drinking, Liam?
We're drinking a beautiful can of Pirate Life Mosaic, and it is an awesome-looking can. I really like it.
Yeah,
and it's tasting really good.
It's pretty awesome, and it kind of, I don't know, I guess it conveys what you're going to get as, like, green, very kind of fresh.
Yeah.
Punchy hops. And, yeah, it's funny because I was doing the Crafty Pint / Beer Cartel survey today.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the questions was, does packaging matter?
I think 100% it does.
I think it does. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Packaging is an extension of the image of the brewery, right?
And I think this is like the can that came to mind when that question came up. So obviously it does matter. Obviously it works, right?
100% it works. Yeah. A good, like, when I go to a bottle shop, I mean, something that like this that stands out, it really grabs your attention, and then the fact it's Pirate Life and Mosaic kind of also helps. But like the initial thing is, you go, "Oh, what the hell is that?" And the shape of the can, the size of the can, and the artwork of the can is awesome. And I think cans has sort of really had a revival in artwork for labels, because it's just a much cooler, better canvas, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That even the same beer in a can and in a bottle, like the artwork just makes so much more sense in a can because it's a bigger canvas. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, unless you have like one of those full body bottles, which you rarely see.
Mm.
Yeah, it's great.
What do you think of the beer?
It's great. Super fresh.
It's really nice and punchy.
Even like 4 weeks out, it's still pretty punchy.
Yeah, it's prime drinking time, and it's definitely a Pirate Life beer, but it's different from the other Pirate Life beers, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really go too much further out with this beer, especially depending on the bottle shop that's selling it. But, yeah, we'll probably touch on that a bit later.
Yeah, but it's a perfect balance of, like, grassiness and bitterness, and it's still, like, the malt character still sings through. I think it's a really, really top beer. It's tasting great.
Mm. So the main news article that came up between the last time we talked about news was that the ACCC has come to the decision after its three-year
investigation into tap contracts,
and they said that it doesn't significantly lessen competition.
Yeah,
which is an interesting decision.
Kind of not surprised, but yeah. I had heard rumblings about 6 months ago that it's probably not going to come up anything.
Yeah.
And then I think it was maybe 2 or 3 months ago where there was that class action led by, I think it was Hawkers.
Yeah.
And that was probably off the back of a bit of discovery that probably nothing's going to happen with the ACCC. And, I mean, when's the last time, I don't know, like I'm not one who follows the work of the ACCC besides this because it's in my interest.
But yeah, yeah.
When's the last time they've actually come back and said that they can do anything about anything?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really seemed very powerful in recent times. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised, especially like, I don't know, there wasn't really any kind of momentum, any rumblings about anything happening.
Yeah, and there was some interesting things that I found. Well, first one was like, they talked to, I think that's the 30 venues?
Yeah, and they only talked to venues, and I don't think they talked to the brewers themselves, which is weird.
It was really just talking to venues.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was one of the comments made was that it wasn't contracts that affected what they put on taps for more, what the consumers wanted.
Yeah.
And that kind of made me think, well, what are those 30 venues? Like,
if
every venue is an RSL club 45 minutes out of a CBD, then that would make sense. So it'd be interesting to see what that, if we do get to see what that mix of venues is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would imagine they're all, you know, like the Coogee Bay Hotel or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the first thing that interested me. The other thing that I said was like, well, it's been 3 years since we started it and a lot's changed in 3 years. So
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they just start again or they said they're going to keep an eye on it?
Hmm.
But yeah, and I guess the last thing was, did we actually expect it to do anything?
Yeah. Probably not. The weird thing is
it going to fix everyone's problems? Probably not.
The weird thing is like, even if it did say that the tap contracts were anti-competitive,
what would they have done?
Would it have actually succeeded in doing a lot? And yeah, it's weird because like you and I have kind of come up in this craft beer market from a very kind of young age to a somewhat advanced level right now.
Yeah,
and we were brought up to kind of. Or we brought up, as I say, in air quotes.
In hospital terms, yeah.
We have come of age.
Yeah.
We've been brought up to think of tap contracts as evil, and they are killing the little man and everything.
Yeah.
But we see these days that
definitely in the
independent
city,
brewers are doing the same thing, and they are doing similar deals to get onto taps.
Yeah, and there are some people in the industry who are very vocal against that.
Yeah.
And other people who say, well, we just got to play the game that everyone else is playing. But then, I mean, look, I started working in beer when I was at the Pump House, and that's a venue that's line contracted. I think it's like 80% or 90%.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of work, but we just found a lot of ways to get around
that. To get around it,
Partly, some of them were following our agreements, and some of them were slightly cheekily not.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, we also sold a lot of Lion products, but we wanted to sell other stuff as well. So,
yeah, I guess, and from the, from the producer side of it, a lot of producers are making deals like, 5+1 deals or 10+1 deals that are not too far away from having a tap contract. And some brewers are outright having tap contracts.
Yeah, from anything from there are smaller breweries installing bar top systems and smaller tap systems for taps, so installing growler stations, installing fridges for fridge space. I know, it's interesting. I mean, if a brewery installs a fridge into a bottle shop and says that a quarter of that fridge must be for them, but we'll pay for this fridge, it kind of works, but you're not stifling competition. You're actually creating more shelf space for competition as well.
Yeah.
But anything that's 80 or 90% to one venue is, and the argument is that it is stifle everyone's. Everyone's fighting over the scraps, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I think sometimes brewers use that as a bit of excuse to play devil's advocate on the other side as well. And, maybe they're trying to get their beers on tap in venues where they're not quite at that crafty stage yet. I don't know. But yeah, I think the best thing that can happen from it now is that it just raises awareness and people are more aware and can start more discussions about tap contracts. I'm all for openness on all sides.
Yeah.
And if you're in that craftier section or the independent section and you're playing those games as well, I don't know, just be open about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty jaded these days. So like I said, I'm not sure if tap contracts were completely outlawed, if there would be
it would
much
just
of a
move
difference
into something else, and it wouldn't be a rebate system, it would be plus ones. And it's that's the thing is, with these tap contracts, you're not paying a greatly discounted price per keg, but the carrots, the rebates you get at the end of the year. And I still think that it doesn't always add up to be the best choice for the venue, but it depends. If you're a venue that just pumps through Carlton Draft, and that's what you need to get a good price, and then
and if that's what you want to do, and that's what your customers want you to do, then you can keep doing that. Why not?
I think the next thing would be interesting to see how the two big boys, or even three, I guess these days, play it from here to what they do now with the tap contracts. Do they make them even more stifling? Do they give people a bit more freedom and flexibility?
Yeah,
Maybe you can say, look, it doesn't have to be 90% of your taps, but you just got to hit some certain volume commitments and you can do whatever you want with the other taps. If you have just one tap of ours, but it sells 9 pallets of kegs a week, then I don't know. Yeah. I think that's the interesting thing to see how the big boys approach it from now on. And do they take any of it to heart? I mean, I guess the ACCC has said that they are watching. So,
And they say they're going to reassess the situation in 3 years. So
it'll be 6 years before we find out
again. Exactly.
Look, if anything, they've bought the big guys 6 more years, right?
Yeah. Or 6 years to come up with a new idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Yeah. But I guess, yeah, I'm not... I didn't know what to expect from it. And even if they did come back at a ruling, what would that mean next? But I hope we can just start a discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is that class action happening headed by Hawkers, Marzan from Hawkers.
Yeah, Marzan from Hawkers. I haven't heard much about that since they announced it, so I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess it's
there.
Still kind of in the process.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see now if a lot of breweries start to come on board that since we've got the ACCC ruling, because I guess some would have been a bit hesitant to wait for this ruling to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's the next step, right? We've just got to keep the battle going.
Yeah. So on a similar subject, there was recently a stoush between Holgate Brewing and the Great Northern in Carlton, Victoria.
Yeah, I've only been to the Great Northern a couple of times, but do you want to give a bit of a background on how the stoush started?
Yeah, so Holgate, reportedly, they offered a rare keg of hand pump, or designed for hand pump.
My understanding
ESB.
Is that the ESB from Holgate has been pouring at the hotel for quite some time.
Yep.
And it's now no longer really a core beer, but more just something...
Like a special release,
And these guys want it as a permanent tap, and they kind of said, well, if you want this, you need to...
buy other Holgate beers, which is, you know, essentially a tap contract. It's incentivizing.
It's incentivizing, right? And people have done that for a long time. Like, I remember when Little Creatures and their small batch stuff was really big, you couldn't just get a keg of small batch. You had to, you know, support Little Creatures throughout the year to do that. Breweries like Feral do that a lot. You can't just get a keg of Tusk. You know, that goes to venues who've supported them through the year. But what I didn't know until this all came out is apparently the Great Northern has a very fierce anti-tap contract stance.
Yep.
That they, I think they said in one of the things I read that even the CUB plays ball with them, where they don't actually have a tap contract, but they
still get CUB still get CUB beers, but they don't have a tap contract.
I would imagine they're just paying full retail whack
for it. Yeah.
But So yeah. Two sides, I guess. The first thing, it's felt a bit for me like it wasn't an unprecedented or unreasonable ask from the brewery.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, the brewery's just gone through some pretty big upgrades. I think they had a 1.5 million
they had
cash
a grant
injection from grant
from the Victorian
so
government.
I'm sure they're under a lot of pressure with increased size to move more stock.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things where, like, they can't just warrant brewing a cask just for one venue or a handful of venues without support.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason why the Great Northern was so kind of salty about it was because they had that grant and then they still asked for special favours to get the ESB on. So
I'm assuming those grants come with a bit of conditions. Like, it's not just here, take this money. I'm sure they have to meet some certain output of how much they're putting back into the community or how many people they're hiring. So I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, but I just, yeah, I think the venue came across pretty douchey as well.
Yeah, I think.
And like I said, being from Sydney, I've been to that venue a couple of times during Good Beer Week and stuff like that, but it's not a place I know well, so I don't know the ethos and what they do there, so it's a bit hard for me to judge. But from the outside looking in, it did come across as like a bit of a hissy fit.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the response from Holgate wasn't exactly great either. They had like a very kind of corporate response of, you know, Holgate have been doing this for whatever, and like, you know, we should work together as a community and whatever. But it could have been like, guys, sorry, like, you know,
yeah, it's one of those. Make up. It's one of those things where it's nowhere near as bad, but it kind of reminds me of the whole Cooper's debacle, where if you don't handle something right, you're just going to make it escalate and escalate. And I think both sides of that didn't really handle the PR of it very well. Like the initial post from Great Northern seemed like a spur of the moment, or like, I'm just going to, like, an angry post,
Is
never a good idea from a business point of view.
Yeah.
Or like even
a drunk post. Or
not implying that they were drunk, but it's that kind of immediacy and rashness.
Yeah, like, didn't think about it before they posted.
Yeah, and look, if that's what you want to do on your personal Facebook page, so that's who am I to judge, but as a business, it's not a good thing. And then at the same thing, Holgate really managed it well, and I think openness is good. And it reminds me of the next subject I want to talk about, which is Four Pines and the sort of PR stuff they had. But we'll touch on that next. But just you can handle something well, and you can handle something not, and make it escalate.
Okay,
you can turn a situation around, I think.
Yeah. What was the Four Pines thing? I'm not sure if I've heard about this.
Ah,
one.
Cool. It's another one of those great CBC dramas.
Oh, great.
We all love CBC, but
yep.
We all have opinions on some of the opinions on CBC.
Yep.
But I think hardcore Four Pines fan posted about their new barrel age stuff coming out of the out of the new facility.
Yep.
And their first bottle release was called the Jean-Claude Van Lambic.
Yep.
And they got served a bit for people asking why they're calling the beer a lambic, and
it doesn't
fit in the classifications of beer that's allowed to be called lambic. And it's not like there's a DOC, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's some of the things we're starting to see in the States, where a lot of the wild ferment or sour breweries are trying to set some standards of namings for those styles of beers, because it's like champagne and it's not made in the region. But I kind of read it that they weren't calling the beer a lambic, but it was in the name because it's kind of an ode to a lambic.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they got someone particularly gave them a pretty big serving. And I thought they actually handled it really well. And the way they replied was open and said, yep, it's not a lambic. We're not saying it is. It's our ode to a lambic.
Yeah.
And I mean, that person had a mission they wanted to prove, and then some knowledge they wanted to share that they knew with everyone.
Yeah.
But I kind of think the brewery handled it really well, and just, you know, short period of time nullified an argument and said, you're right about all these things, but that's not what we're trying to do. And it's case in point of a good way you can handle that.
They didn't speak down or anything.
No.
They weren't.
So, yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things. There's a lot of people with a lot of opinions, and some people don't like certain breweries, or, you know, some people are particularly passionate about certain styles and don't like when breweries don't quite do it right in their opinion. But, I mean, obviously that person hadn't tried the beer because there's very little stock available.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to try it, actually.
I'm really keen to try it. And I was talking to the guys from Four Pines today about what they got coming out of that place, and it's really exciting.
I mean, and I think we talked to them, like, what, 2-3 years ago about their barrel program, and now they're actually starting to come out with some stuff. So
yeah, and we're going to see some stuff steadily coming out.
Yeah.
So not in massive volumes, but, yeah, I think it's awesome. And just because they're a big guy doesn't mean... Yeah, I don't know.
Mm.
But I do agree. I don't like people calling beers lambics that aren't. But
yeah, me too.
I think in that particular instance, I didn't think they were.
Yeah. I didn't think so either.
Yeah.
Mm.
I didn't think it was something to get upset about.
I think it was in the name, I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme is obviously a reference to Brussels. And lambics, obviously. So, yeah. Do you know much about... So I was about to read this article before you called me saying you're going to be early.
Ah, sorry.
So I didn't
stifled your research time.
I didn't actually get to read the whole thing, but there's a new brewery opening up called Brick Lane.
Yeah.
One of my mates, John Selton, is going to be head brewer.
Yeah.
And then a few other famous people are involved.
Yeah. So John comes from a background of brewing at Bright, I believe. Initially.
He started in Bright and then worked for Hawkers for a while.
Yep. And my understanding is while they're getting the facility up, they're brewing the new Brick Lane beers out of Hawkers as well.
Okay.
I'm just trying to remember the other people involved, because it's a pretty big... it seems like they're definitely setting themselves up right for a successful brewery.
Yeah, cool.
They've also got a guy who's like a big wig for the Lion Nathan in New Zealand.
Okay.
And a guy from SAB Miller as well.
Yeah, wow.
Actually Independent Distillers, which is a part of Asahi.
Yeah. So they're both left there, or?
Yeah, I think they're all... I mean, I'm not exactly cool, because I think some of them are on the board.
Yep.
And so I'm not sure what it is, but it definitely seems like they've got some big guys, you know, like, start talking about SAB Miller, Coca-Cola, you know, Lion New Zealand. Like, they should know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And John's a very accomplished brewer as well. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it seems like their strategy is kind of to be somewhat of a mainstream beer, like, you know, same thing that that Bolter are doing.
Yeah, and I guess Hawkers with their is it Reservoir range as well?
Yep.
Is it Reservoir?
Not sure.
Which is you know, a bit more of a mainstream style thing, and I think Bolter's really set a model that with a bit of money and business sense behind you, that can be transferable into the beer industry to some degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's... having not read the whole article because I was in a rush. I think it's a pretty exciting thing. I mean, anything that John's involved in, I'm right behind. So, yeah, it's going to be cool to see what comes out of there.
Yeah, it's just sort of showing, like, the level of expectation to start a brewery these days can sort of go anywhere from the gambit of something like Bolter or Brick Lane or something like that, or even Hawkers to some degree, to, like, something a lot smaller. And so there's definitely different models, and not everyone's coming in with a shoestring budget. People are coming in with a bit of coin behind them.
You get, like, the whole range of, you know, Hawkers and Bolter and Brick Lane to, you know, black font who don't even want to open outside of 2 days a week.
No, they're happy doing what they're doing, and they all fit in the same industry, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
it's really cool. So speaking of all encompassing industry stuff, the IBA are having their conference.
Yeah, the National Australian Craft Brewers Conference. So formerly CBIA, now IBA.
Yep.
Which is being held in Adelaide next week.
Yeah.
And I, for the first time, getting to head down and visit the conference, which I'm really excited about.
Where is it? Is it the Adelaide Oval?
It's Adelaide Convention Centre, but the awards are at Adelaide Oval.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So there's some really cool stuff going on with that I'm really keen to check out on the program.
Yep.
Probably the most coolest thing is that Dave's, along with LSE Hops, are doing some tours in Adelaide.
Oh, yeah.
Plug moment. What's that?
Plug moment.
Well, it's more a personal plug because I put the tours together. Oh, so, yeah. So I think Tuesday is like the sort of the day before the conference starts. So Tuesday night, they're having like the welcome drinks. So we've put together some tours with the IBA for people to do on the Tuesday day.
Yep.
It's going to be pretty cool. I've got three tours going. One's going up to Adelaide Hills.
Yep.
One is like doing like the weedy pirate life in Big Shed. And then another one's going to Little Bang, Coopers, the TAFE, and Brew Boys. So
awesome.
It's pretty cool tour. So, yeah.
So are these kind of designed for industry people or just general public?
They're for people. You have to be going to the conference.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it's
like an addition
you can do with the conference. And it's put together by us and LSE Hops.
Yeah, okay.
But, so it's definitely the industry tour. So it's not going to be learning about how beer is made, but more learning about different sizes and structures of breweries.
Yep.
You know, and anything.
So more like, insider nerdy stuff.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of insider nerdy stuff and just drinking lots of good beers. But, you know, like on one tour, you can go from something to Little Bang to Coopers, and they're showing us a new malting facility in-house.
Yeah, yeah.
To, like, the TAFE next door, which is a little nano brewery. So, like, yeah, it's a pretty interesting mix.
That's really exciting.
It should be pretty cool. Yeah.
I'm excited for all the attendees of the craft beer conference.
Yeah, and the conference overall is looking really awesome as well. So, like one of the things we're talking about is pirate life and how fresh it is. There's been a lot of action on that. We don't want to harp on it too much because we've talked about it a fair bit lately. But I'm really keen to go to Dr. Charlie Bamforth's doing a keynote, which would be really interesting because he's very opinionated. But
mm-hmm. He had that article recently about freshness and 9 month bottle dates.
Mm.
Basically, he was saying that 9 month bottle dates are ridiculous because, especially if you don't cold ship or cold store them, they will not last longer than a couple of months to even a couple of weeks, like depending on the temperature. So
yeah, temperature's a big thing with that, and it's a big issue in Australia.
And we don't want to harp on too much again about freshness because we've done it so many times this year, but. Yeah, I think it's a very interesting article, so we'll link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, the other one that, there's some, it gets pretty nerdy, the stuff on, microbiology and a budget and stuff like that. But the other one, which would be pretty interesting, is called Fuck-Ups and Failures.
Yep, that sounds good.
So it'd be a bit of horror stories. I think that'd be interesting as well. Yeah, we sort of talked about that with Hendo and the wrapping up of Brew Cult and how a positive that's come out of something really unfortunate is the fact he's been really open and sharing mistakes he's made so others can learn from it. So I think that's really cool. But yeah, and then I'm going to nerd out. The other one I was really wanted to nerd out on was there's a primer on mixed culture fermentation working with Brett Lacto and Pedio.
Who's this presenting?
I don't know, but it's kind of like just listening to an episode of the Sour Hour, I think.
Yeah.
So there's a few things that I'd be really keen to listen to. So I'll probably give a wrap up in a couple of weeks about how that all went.
Yeah, awesome. Looking forward to it.
Mm.
Cool. Should we get onto some quick recommendations then?
Yeah, let's do it. I got a non-beer.
All right.
I'm struggling as two. I've, as a bit of a de-stress from work, started playing video games again.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I was talked about playing GTA last time, which I'm not going to remember this time.
Yeah.
But I've recently picked up two new games just to fill in the stressful hours when I can't sleep. One being PlayUnknown Battlegrounds, which is kind of like a battle royale multiplayer game where like you spawn on an island and you just got to kill the other 99 people.
Oh, just like Battle Royale
the
movie.
It's Battle Royale the movie. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And then they have like zones which like, the gas fog closes in on.
Yep.
So that was one. And the other one which I was playing, which is going to be my recommendation, is the reissue of Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah, so they've remastered the original trilogy.
I heard about that.
PlayStation. And that's... Yep. So hard, but it's pretty smick graphics, so it looks awesome. So, I've been getting stuck into that. What about you?
I'm gonna recommend something very general but It's getting to the arse end of the AFL season.
Ooh, yeah, it's getting action time.
This AFL season has been fucking amazing. It's just, you can't predict anything.
Man.
You know, 90% of games are close.
Yeah.
The rest are blowouts.
Two draws and two
draws in a row by the same team.
By the same team, which hasn't happened for, like, what, 60 years or something?
1921 was the last time. So, yeah, it's a very good season of AFL. Like, last season, the top eight was locked in the first 4 weeks. This season, you don't know.
I mean, Swans are now sitting in sixth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they were like...
They lost the first six games in a row. They were written off.
Unfortunately, Hawthorne are not going to make the finals. So,
yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think everyone's sad about that.
But, yeah, look, it's been an awesome season, and I've got to catch a lot of games, and I've seen some nail-biting games. I've seen Swans win on the last kick after the siren.
Yeah.
I watched GWS and Swans on the weekend, and that was a tight game as well. Yeah, it's been some awesome footy. It's a very equal
Yeah, and I think, like, hopefully that carries on to the finals, because if it does, it's going to be a cracking final series.
Man, if Swans make the grand final, it'll be a miracle. Oh.
I was drinking with a guy on the weekend, and he said he put a bet on the Swans winning the grand final a few weeks ago.
Ooh.
I think it was 18-1.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, he's pretty confident.
Yeah, they're playing well, yeah. But, you know, a lot can happen, so, yeah.
Bet responsibly, by the way. yeah, so that's my non-beer.
That's a good one, yeah.
Beer?
Have you got a beer? I'm still thinking of a beer.
Yeah, so I... A bit of you recently had an Omnipolo tap takeover.
Ah, yeah,
on the weekend.
That?
It was pretty good. Yeah. Not takeover, but showcase. They only had about 5 beers. And my standout was the collab with Buxton, the lemon meringue ice cream pie. Fucking awesome. It was like sweet, sour, tasted like exactly what it was meant to be. It was great. I think their other Buxton collab, the Yellow Belly peanut butter stout, was awesome as well.
I've had that
well.
In the bottle. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's really good. But that wasn't on tap, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would have smashed that on tap. Yeah, I've got one. One of the joys of working in the inner west and working in Marrickville is when you have batch right next to your office.
Yep.
I popped in the other day to actually borrow their glass washer to wash some glasses, and they had the new version of their Trippy Hippie, which is one of the Brewer Andrew's XPAs, and it was a double XPA, so it was like a 9.1%.
Oh, yeah. I have had that
XPA,
one.
And it was massive. I'm not sure what hops you used for this one. The first one had a lot of Galaxy and stuff like that, and it was like peach juice.
Yeah, wow.
But it was 9.1%, and I literally had one beer. I was like, whew. Yeah,
I think I had a taste of that, but I wasn't in the state to have a full glass, so I'll have to have a full glass of it.
Yeah, I had that as one beer and went back to work, and it was pretty, like, literally, it was like 5 o'clock and I had a beer. It's like, I'm going to go back. I was like, oh, I'm just going to pack up my stuff and go. That was a pretty big beer.
Yeah, cool. I guess that's it for
Quick Record. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Dave's Travel and Events Group for sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to finish the rest of this pirate life and have some awesome dinner.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers.
Sessionable.
Thanks for listening to today's episode, which has been brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group. If you're strapped for time because you've been listening to this podcast for too long, they've got a great new thing they're calling the 2x2 Evening Tour. Two of Sydney's best breweries in 2 hours with loads of beer included and a pub meal at the end just to seal the deal. It's excellent value and doesn't take up a lot of your time, so get amongst it. Hit up daves.com.au. See you later.